Why don't you take your Bibles and turn to Luke, the second chapter today. And we're going to jump right into the Word of God. Check. 1, 2. Can you hear me okay? Sometimes you have to adjust your ear. There you go. You might take me out of that monitor. The Christmas story that we have all grown up hearing is so familiar to most of us that we can quote it, and we have probably read it from the King James Version, and we've grown up hearing all of those things, and there's probably certain words in it that you understand and certain words that you don't understand. As a church musician, I can tell you that Christmas songs were one of those things that we did once a year. It only took me about 30 years to learn how to play them because we practiced them so infrequently. It was just a very rare opportunity that we had. And so I can't tell you, I've always been excited about Christmas music, but in the last several years, I've gotten much more enthused about it. There's so many lessons that we can learn about Christmas, from the fulfillment of the prophecies to the simple obedience and the faith of Mary and Joseph, or the way that God sent the Magi, the wise men, to visit the baby some months later. It's all important and it's all beneficial for our understanding of the character of God. You see, God's an organizer. He's a planner. He reveals to those who seek Him. He loves the world that He created so much that He sent His Son Jesus to redeem it from destruction. That is the way that God is. But one of the greatest lessons we should learn from the event is the way that God actually chose to celebrate the birth announcement of Jesus. Over the past few years, I've noticed that Americans particularly have become very creative in announcing babies. From how the parents tell the grandparents to revealing the gender of the baby, social media has encouraged and made way for thousands of future parents to celebrate the gift of life that is going to be arriving very soon to them. But let me tell you, nobody ever had an announcement like the one that came on the night that Jesus was born. We're going to look at the most famous passage that talks about this. So if you have your Bibles, let's look at Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 1. This is from the New Living Translation. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the news concerning, or spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. It's a wonderful story. There's never been a celebration quite like that before. No Facebook posting, no Instagram story, no tweet has ever come close to being as creative or as cool as that night. The angels were celebrating the moment of Jesus' birth, but not just the moment of his birth, all of the moments to come of Jesus' life, because they knew what was coming in the future. They were celebrating the birth of the Messiah, you see, and they were celebrating the fact that the Messiah was going to bring joy to the entire world, first to the Jews and then to everybody else. But aside from the obvious reasons that the angels were celebrating, I also see how this celebration sheds some light on the way that I should celebrate every day. To live your life without celebration is not only boring and mundane, it's also not the way that God wired you to live your life. You see, God celebrates, and so should you. So today, the title is Come and Celebrate. We're going to look at this, and we learn a few things from this story. I'm going to give you three that I hope you can remember. First thing you need to know about celebrations are celebrations can change your plans. The shepherds' plans that night were very similar to every other night. They were simply going to guard the sheep. They were going to try to stay awake. They were going to take turns being on guard, and they were going to look after these sheep. Now, these shepherds knew something about the night shift. They had worked it for a long time. This was the way that they earned their living. They just lived out there on the fields during this time of the year. Christmas in America and around the world is done in December. But likely the story of the birth of Jesus didn't happen during that season. It happened in a much warmer time of the year. So it was probably a different time. So the shepherds were out there on the hillside, and here they were just going about their regular routine. They had a plan. Their plan was probably a little bit boring. It was the same thing as had happened so many nights before. But when the angel appeared to them, their plans changed. It says they left their sheep and went to town to find the baby. You see, there was an importance to this celebration that was very life-changing. And these men stopped what they were doing and hurried off to see the child. This means they ran down the hill. When you hurry, you run fast. These guys were probably rather relaxed. Sheep don't yet necessarily run real fast. They do run a bit, but they don't run as fast as some other animals. And so I'm sure they had been used to working with sheep, and they were kind of chilled individuals, just kind of hanging out with the sheep on the hillside. And some years ago, we had a musical at church, and I hired a man to bring us a lamb for the song. Matter of fact, they were singing that children's song, Happy Birthday, Jesus. And I had often seen the picture of the little lamb draped over the shoulders of Jesus. Have you ever seen that picture? And I thought that would be so cute to have a little lamb stand up there by these children as they sang, Happy Birthday, Jesus. He didn't have a lamb, so he brings me a sheep that is not a lamb. He's full grown, and he had an attitude. And so we had a little girl sing. I think Brooke was singing it. She was about 6 or 7. She was standing there singing it while this man, dressed like a shepherd, was beside her holding this sheep in a headlock. And this sheep was angry. This sheep was mad. This sheep was not happy. And I thought, shepherds didn't have the easiest life in the world. Who knew that sheep were as wild as they could be? But this sheep was just a mess. I'm sure these shepherds had dealt with that before. They were tough. But there's something about leading sheep. You know, in Texas, we're all about cattle. But you drive cattle you lead sheep. And so they have to get these sheep on board with them. And they knew something about it. And their celebration that night was so amazing that it changed what they normally did. They were no longer just celebrating being shepherds out on the hillside, just celebrating a pretty night. I'm sure the sky was beautiful, but that's not the only reason that they were celebrating that night. God had shown up and done something incredible for them. You see, when you have a celebration, it will change your plans. When we celebrate anything in life, your normal routine kind of comes to a standstill, doesn't it? Doesn't matter if it's a birthday, an anniversary, doesn't matter what it is. You're kind of going along just doing whatever you're used to doing, your regular life, and then a celebration arrives in your life, and you stop and you, for a moment, you do something out of the ordinary. And I think God wired each one of us that way, that we need to have those moments of celebration in our life so that we say, there's something worth celebrating in life. There's something that's exciting. We're thankful for the birth of this individual. Happy birthday to them. We're thankful for this marriage that has happened. We're thankful that whatever you fill in the blank, whatever you celebrate, for this graduation, for this anniversary, for whatever. And there's so many other things that we should celebrate in life that we do not. If you leave here with anything today, I want you to look at the way that God celebrates, and I want you to apply it to your own life and say, God, if you are a celebrating God, I want to celebrate too. The second thing that we notice about this is that celebrations not only change your plans, they will change your perspective. These shepherds had always been used to simply providing the sheep for the temple sacrifices each year. Because of where they were located in proximity to Bethlehem, Bethlehem was known as an area that raised sheep and lambs specifically that were perfect, that were spotless, that had the ability to be used as sacrifices in the temple. And so these shepherds, they lived outside of town. They lived away from there in the hills, and they lived there. But even though they were providing a service to temple sacrifice, they themselves were considered unclean. Isn't this terrible? They weren't allowed to come into the temple themselves. They lived out on the hillside. Isn't it amazing that the Son of God was born and God himself sends an announcement to some people that everybody else would have considered unclean? He didn't go to the ministers. He didn't go to the priest. He didn't go to those people who had purity written all over their face. He went to the guys out on the hillside doing a normal job that other people would say, yeah, they're a notch below us in the scheme of things. In the social realm, we're here and the shepherds are somewhere below us. But that's who God went to. I think that tells us a little bit about the character of God, doesn't it? So this changed their perspective. The sheep that were used to push the sins of the nation forward each year, you see, that's what these sheep were. When they went, they got atonement, but really they didn't get forgiveness. They simply pushed the sins of the people forward to the next year. And the next year you had to sacrifice another lamb, and you pushed your sins forward to the next year. And the next year you did the same thing, and so on and so on and so on. But on that night, God says through the angel, the Savior is born. The Messiah is born. And what they didn't know and what they didn't understand and what they couldn't conceive at that time was Jesus himself was coming not just to push sins forward, but to eradicate sins permanently. Isn't that exciting? That's what the Christmas story is about. It's that the perfect lamb was born, and the perfect lamb some 33 years later gave up his life as a perfect lamb to live, to die for each of us so that we wouldn't have to live in sin any longer. And it changed their perspectives that night. They were no longer just raising sheep for a yearly sacrifice. They were part of the greatest story ever told, and they were privileged to be the very first people that were told. They had to change. I'm sure that had to change the way that they looked at their lives. I'm sure it had to change the way they looked at their jobs and even each other. Suddenly, I'm sure they must have realized the value in what they had been doing all of these years. I'm sure they never looked at their sheep the same way. I'm sure they never looked at the starry sky the same way. I'm sure they probably just thought, I wonder if this is ever going, if we're ever going to be able to see inside that realm again. I wonder if that's the only time in our life we'll ever see angels. I wonder. And you, can you imagine the questions that went through their mind on that night out on a hillside? It may have been a beautiful night. There may not have been a cloud in the sky, or there may have been a lot of clouds in the sky. We don't know. But we know that when the angels showed up, they were terrified. And the angel did what the angels always do. Don't be afraid. Fear not. You'll hear that over and over in the Christmas story. They just start that way because it's terrifying when you see an angel, especially when you see one hovering right above your head. And when you read the original language, it appears that the angels didn't just show up on the ground. The angels showed up above them, and here they were terrified. It was just one angel to start with. I think God knew that they only had so much blood in their bodies and they could only handle so much pressure at once. So he started out with one just to kind of calm them down. Hey, fellas, this is getting ready to get exciting, but just want you to know, don't be afraid. Cue the singers. And then a host of heavenly angels showed up, and there they were singing glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill to all men. You know that had to change their perspective. They didn't look at themselves the same way. They probably didn't look at God the same way for the rest of their life. They certainly didn't go about their regular plan. You see, when somebody dies, we often celebrate them. I've been to countless funerals. I have preached many. I have played the piano at even more, and I've sung it more. But I've been to some funerals where I didn't know the person very well. And while I'm sitting there and we're celebrating the life of an individual, and I hear the wonderful stories that are told about an individual, I suddenly have my perspective changed. I remember thinking a few times at funerals where I've thought, man, I wish I'd have known them better. Have you ever been at a funeral where you've heard somebody talk about something that, and when they begin to share about an individual, you suddenly realize, wow, there was a lot more to that person than I ever imagined. There was so much more to them. I had no idea they did this. I had no idea they did that. I had no idea this was in their character. I had no idea this was a habit of theirs to do this every week for somebody or whatever. It's just an amazing thing, and it changed my perspective, and that often happens. For a few moments on that extraordinary night, these common men got to look at the uncommon. The sky may have been beautiful, but it wasn't the sky that changed them. It was the celebration. That night, when the host of angels appeared to these shepherds, reminds me of another day, hundreds of years earlier, when someone else's perspective changed as well. It's found over in 2 Kings chapter 6. Some of you will remember the story. Elisha was the prophet, and he was living in the town of Dothan when the king of Aram sent an army to either kill him or to at least capture him. As Elisha's servant looks outside and sees the army surrounding the city, fear grips him, and he asks Elisha these great five words that we have all said at one point in time. What do we do now? We've all said it. We've all had something that's come up against us. We've all looked out at our circumstance, at our situation, and we've said the same thing. What do we do now? And Elisha looked at him and simply responded, "Don't be afraid, for there are more that are on our side than on theirs." Then Elisha prays, "Lord, open his eyes and let him see." Scripture says, the Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. Now, I want you to notice that when the young servant looked out to see this host of angels and chariots and this army, supernatural army, the army of Aram was still there, right where they had always been. But his perspective changed because what he saw initially was the enemy. And now he saw the cavalry. It changed everything. There was so much more. I would imagine he went from fear to faith in about a millisecond, don't you? He was no longer asking, what do we do now? He was probably simply thinking, God, what are you going to do next? And that's where we all need to get to in our lives. We all need to find ourselves, instead of asking, what do we do now? We need to ask God, what are you up to? What are you going to do next? Isn't it wonderful when you get to look out and you see God do amazing things in your life? And when you celebrate some of those wonderful things that have happened in your past, it gives you faith to look forward and say, God, I know you did amazing things for me in the past. You've done great things for me that I cannot even begin to thank you for, and I don't even understand how you did it. But God, I know you're not finished doing great things. You're still up to some good things in my life. And God, what are you going to do next? It's a way of having your perspective changed. Your perspective, some of you right now probably need your perspective changed. You probably need it adjusted in some area of your life. You probably don't have all the facts. You probably don't understand everything. You may most likely haven't opened your eyes to see God's provision, protection, or His power in your life. We all go through that time in our life when we just don't have all the details, and we're kind of thinking to ourselves, what do we do now? But we need a perspective adjustment. And you can get that simply by celebrating what God has already done. When you celebrate His provision, His power, His purpose in your life in the past, you will see that God will change your perspective for the future. The third thing that I want you to know about this celebrations is celebrations can change your purpose. Shepherds might have just been common men living out on a hillside, but in this story, we see that they no longer were just shepherds that nobody knew by name living out on a hillside. They suddenly became the first evangelist in the world. Everywhere they went, they began to tell the story of what had happened. And they got excited about what God had done. And they said, you're not going to believe this. I know this sounds crazy, but this is what happened on that night. Shepherds weren't used to lying. They were just used to telling what had happened, and they told what had happened. They didn't understand everything about Jesus' life, but they did understand what the angel had spoken, and they had witnessed it for themselves, this baby in a manger. So they told everybody that would listen about the events of that night. That celebration wasn't just for a few men on a hillside. It was for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. The story was amazing, and they were convincing enough that when they shared it, everybody who heard it was amazed. So as you celebrate seasons and events and others, let your purpose not become what you can receive, but who you can bless. Who can you tell? How can you bless? Just as these shepherds. The shepherds didn't make it about themselves when they were celebrating. When they went to tell other people, they said, I've got to tell you, an angel came to us. And then he told us this. And he said, I'm going to give you a sign. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths. Now, wrapping in cloths was common. It was just sort of like wrapping up a bundle so that the baby could stay warm. That part wasn't uncommon. What was uncommon is you didn't normally see babies lying in feed troughs. So that was the sign. So they hurry down the hill. They hurry into town. It could have been miles outside of town. We don't know exactly how far it was. But they got there and they found the baby lying in a manger. I'm sure that was an exciting time for them. Who knows how many stables they looked in that night, but they found the baby. And can you imagine what that must have been like? It wasn't a dream. We weren't surprised. This didn't come, not because we just spent too much time outside. This is actually what transpired, and God allowed them to then take that message and bless other people with it as well. Their purpose changed from that moment. You see, there's always something to celebrate. As a matter of fact, when God was teaching the nation of Israel how to live as free people, you'll remember that when they came out of Egypt, He gave them a lot of rules. He gave them a lot of direction because they had been so used to living as slaves for 400 years. They thought like slaves. They acted like slaves. They didn't know anything but how to be a slave. And God said, I'm going to give you a list of holidays and holy days that I want you to observe. And the reason He did is because He was having to teach them how to celebrate. And they began to celebrate day in and day out. they had a lot of celebrations. They had more than we Americans have. They had lots of celebrations, and he began to teach them. Just maybe God knew something that by giving the Israelites these holidays and celebrations, they would begin to think less like slaves and more like his chosen people. Maybe we need to all celebrate our life in Christ. Maybe we should all take time and celebrate all of the goodness that God has done for us throughout the year. I love the fact that Christmas falls at the end of the year. It gives us pause just here before we go into the new year to say, God, you've been really good to me. You have been so good to me. There have been times when I could have had a difficult year and you helped me. There were some difficult seasons this past year, but you were there with me the whole time. You can have those moments in your at the end of the year where you just simply look back and you say, God, thank you. I celebrate you at this time. I want you to know that you're here for a purpose, that the angels that celebrated the shepherd that night are still celebrating along with a shepherd today. You see, in Luke, the 15th chapter, a few chapters over, Jesus, who was a grown man, gives the parable of the shepherd who lost one of his sheep. You remember this story? And it says that the shepherd left the 99 sheep, and he went to search for the one lost sheep. When he found it, he called his friends and his neighbors, and he said, come celebrate with me. I have found my lost sheep. A couple of verses later, he tells the story about the lady who lost the coin. And she searched all over the house, and when she found it, she called all of her friends and neighbors, and she said, come celebrate with me. Rejoice with me. I have found what I once had lost. And then there's this great line that simply says it like this. In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. You see, there's still angels and shepherds rejoicing and celebrating today. Anytime anyone comes to the Lord and repents from their life and says, God, I choose to follow you instead of choosing my own plans. I choose to now align myself with you. I have a new perspective, God, because I no longer am chasing after what I thought was important. Now I'm going to follow you. Anytime somebody turns their heart to God and says, God, I choose to follow you for the rest of my life, it says there is a celebration in heaven. The angels rejoice. Isn't that great to know? Isn't it wonderful to know that God is so organized, so detailed, so planned that he knew that he was setting precedents from the beginning? You can follow his train of thought all through the Old Testament, the New Testament, right on up today. I'm grateful that I serve a God that loves to celebrate, and he wants to celebrate you today. Celebrations happen in heaven every time somebody gets saved on earth. So let me ask you a couple of questions. Do you need forgiveness? Do you need to repent? Here's what I found out about this story when I see it. It says that the shepherds were immediately invited to the party. They didn't have to earn it. They didn't have to work for it. They were just immediately invited to the party. The angel showed up and said, I've got good news. And immediately they were part of history. We've all been invited. It's immediate. You can immediately say, God, take me as I am. The old song that was sung countless times at Billy Graham crusades that said, just as I am, I come. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? When was the last time you celebrated something great? Or have you allowed yourself to go from event to event in your life without stopping long enough to enjoy the moments and celebrate them? You might celebrate a birthday, an anniversary, a wedding, a graduation, or an engagement. But do you also celebrate God's goodness and favor in your life for healing, for forgiveness? How about salvation or deliverance? How about for miracles? How about for the supernatural intervention that can't be explained with logic? Or perhaps you're here today and you need to repent and ask Jesus to forgive you. The greatest gift anyone could ever give you has already been given. You just have to receive it. It's not complicated. It doesn't require many words. It's just you admitting your need of a Savior and accepting Jesus as your Lord. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'd tell you today, if you want to accept Jesus today, all you got to do is simply accept Him into your heart. I'd be happy to lead you in a prayer. If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor Steve, today, at the end of 2019, I'd like to change my plans. I'd like to follow Jesus in 2020. I'd like to pray with you. All you got to do is raise your hand right where you are. I'm not going to make a spectacle of you. We're just going to simply pray. Would you join me in prayer right now? Lord, thank You that You are a celebrating God. Thank You for all the wonderful things that You celebrate throughout Your Word. But thank You most of all that You, even today, are choosing to celebrate each one of us. As we have repented and come into the kingdom, You have celebrated us. In the same way that shepherds celebrated the birth of Jesus that day, angels are still celebrating the new birth of those who are coming into the kingdom today. I thank You for it, Lord. I pray a blessing over this congregation now, Lord. I speak health over them. As we go through this week, as we find ourselves celebrating from event to event, as we're getting with family, as we're getting with friends, maybe our jobs, wherever we find opportunities to celebrate You this year, I pray You would bless it. I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you stand?